Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharya Ashtotara Shata Shri Srimat His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Grantaraya Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nidai Gaura Premanande. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, Text 24, The Marriage of Kandarbha Muni and Devahuti. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narancaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasu Prayashurabhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Yaswanubhava Makila Shuti Saramekam Adyat Mandipa Matiti Shatam Tamanindam Samsarinam Karuna Yaha Purana Guyantam Vyasasunam Upayami Guru Muninam. Text 22 has no purport, and text 23 has a purport. Archita Prabhu, which verse should I read the... Okay. Sunu gyanfavayasitam mahisim duhitosputam tasmai guna kanatyaya datao tulyam paharshitaha. After having unmistakably known the decision of the queen, as well as that of Devahuti, the emperor most gladly gave his daughter to the sage, whose host of virtues was equaled by hers. Reading text 23. Shatarupa Maharajni Pariparhan Mahadanaha Dham Dampatyo Paryadat Pritya Busa Vasa Parichandan Shata Rupa Maharajni Paribarthan Mahadanam Dampatyo Paryadat Pritya Busa Vasa Parichandan.
Shatarupa Maharajni, Shatarupa Maharajni,
Vajni Nivaha Mahardana Abhitya Abhitya Sapadikshita Shatarupa. Sorry, Vaishnavis. Shatarupa, Empress Shatarupa, Maharajni, the Empress, Paribarhan, Dowry, Mahadanaha, Mahadana, valuable presents, Dampatyo, to the bride and groom, Paryadat, gave, Pritaya, out of affection. Bhusan, ornaments. Vasa, clothes. Parichandan, articles for household use. Empress Shatarupa lovingly gave most valuable presents suitable for the occasion, just as jewelry, clothes, such as jewelry, clothes and household articles, in dowry to the bride and the bridegroom. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The custom of giving one's daughter in charity with a dowry is still current in India. The gifts are given according to the position of the father of the bride. Paribarhan Mahadana means the dowry which must be awarded to the bridegroom at the time of marriage. Here, Mahadana means greatly valuable presents befitting the dowry of an empress. The words Bhusa Vasan Parichandan also appear here. Bhusa means ornaments. Vasa means clothing. Parichadan means various household articles. All things befitting the marriage ceremony of an emperor's daughter were awarded to Kardama Muni, who was until now observing celibacy as a brahmachari. The bride, Devahuti, was very richly dressed with ornaments and clothing. In this way, Kardama Muni was married with full opulence to a qualified wife and was endowed with the necessary paraphernalia for household life. In the Vedic way of marriage, such a dowry is still given to the bridegroom by the father of the bride. Even in poverty-stricken India, there are marriages where hundreds and thousands of rupees are spent for a dowry. The dowry system is not illegal, as some have tried to prove. The dowry is a gift given to the daughter by the father to show goodwill, and it is compulsory. In rare cases where the father is completely unable to give a dowry, it is enjoined he must at least give a fruit or a flower. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, God can also be pleased even by a fruit and flower. When there is financial inability and no question of accumulating a dowry by other means, one can give a fruit and flower for the satisfaction of the bridegroom. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakoya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svam Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yukta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajataham Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamstra Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschachadeshatarine Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauritvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopeshwa Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarumbischa Kripa Sindhura Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Durga me pateminantasya sakalat paragater muhur Svakripa yasti danena Santa Sanvabalambanam. Before we begin speaking on this verse, I would think it's important that we zoom out a little bit from the current verse to get a broader perspective on what the Bhagavatam is speaking about. The Srimad Bhagavatam has the ability to eradicate all anarthas from our heart. Anarthas are unwanted things which we have accumulated in contact with the material energy. Anything that you touch, it sticks to you. And when one takes in the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's supposed to be a process of purification. Anarthopasanam sakshat, bhakti yogam zadhoksaje. Lokasya ajanato vidvams, chakri satvava samhitam. The Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken for those who are without knowledge of the ultimate truth to become freed from the anarthas which prevent them from loving Krishna. And the primary anartha which we have is yayasamo hito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam parupi manyanete nartham takritam chabi padyate. That although we are transcendental, although we are parts and parcels of Krishna, and although in essence, as the Bhagavad Gita says, vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavani hastini sunichai vaspa pankecha pandita samadarshana. Although in essence we are all parts and parcels of Krishna, due to this bodily identification, we are acquiring various types of body. And this is very scientifically done by the material nature. Shariram yadavapnoti yachchapiyu krama ishvara grihet vaitani samyanti vayor gandan ivashayat. At the time of death, one's disposition, their subtle disposition at the time of death, acts as a kind of fragrance, is the analogy Krishna gives. And that fragrance carries one to another body in which Chotram Chakshu Sprasanam Sha Rasanam Griham Evata Adittasya Manaschayam Visayam Upasevate. One is gifted with a particular nose, is gifted with a particular sense of sight, a particular sense of hearing. All the senses are designed for the living entity to chase after the desires he has cultivated in a previous life. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to eradicate that. While the Srimad Bhagavatam is dealing with this very exalted process of paramatmika consideration, the consideration of the ultimate dharma, the ultimate purpose of the living entity, tasmat ekena manasa bhagavat sapatam batihi shot vayas kirt vayas yascha deha pujas tanityada, that the ultimate purpose of all dharmas which one may acquire according to their subtle and gross disposition is to fix one's mind in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead completely and make that the ultimate goal of your life. Tasmat ekena manasa, with fixed attention on that purpose. Simultaneously, we have avaiviharika consideration, which are considerations and duties and responsibilities which we have in relationship to our current position of material conditioning. And the whole focus of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as Srila Prabhupada explains in the introduction, is meant to be a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of human society. So although we have this exalted philosophy which is functioning on the absolute platform of who we are, it's not that the Srimad Bhagavatam disregards our current condition of material condition, our current condition of material illusion, our current material bodily identification. And in fact, if one tries to prematurely come to a Paramahamsa platform of life, Srila Prabhupada warns that that will lead to a fallback in one's spiritual progress. It's not that one can imitate the realization of a Paramahamsa who is able to see any and all living entities on the same platform with Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam takes into consideration that we have particular material conditionings as men, as women, as teachers, as administrators, as workers, and as students, as householders, as renunciates, and ultimately as someone who has completely given themselves to Krishna. There are duties which are to be performed, and these duties are spoken about Krishna as chatu varnam mayashristam guna karma vibhagashaha, that everyone has a particular guna and karma, and one should act according to that guna and karma for the purpose of coming to the stage of tasmat ekena manasa, for the purpose of becoming fixed in remembering Krishna. Atapum bir dvivasheshtas varna shrama vibhagasha danas tisasya dharmasya sam siddhir haritoshana, that all of these material conditionings which you may have, all these inclinations which you may have acquired, you should execute those duties carefully and, I'm sorry, this is a bit repetitive, dutifully. And executing those things dutifully and with a sense of dependence on Krishna, one can come to the stage of pure devotion. Sam siddhir haritoshana, having all of one's activities be an expression of love for Krishna. So what is being spoken about in this particular section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is this vaiviharika consideration, that what is the cultural, socio-cultural background of Bhagavad Dharma? What is the culture which sets the background of the principles of hearing and chanting and developing love for Krishna, by which living entities in this world can make the most swift and rapid progress on the path of self-realization. So what is being spoken about here is the wedding ceremony of Kardama Muni, who has been acting as a brahmachari, and now he is entering into the Grihastha Ashram. After entering the Grihastha Ashram, he will enter in the Vanaprastha stage, and ultimately, as we know, he will take he will be a wandering sannyasi mendicant. So he is setting the example of the various phases of life which the majority of people will go through, functioning as a student, functioning as a householder, functioning as someone who is stepping away from it all, and someone who is ultimately dedicating themselves completely. There's various lessons to be learned at each stage of life, and these are meant to facilitate the natural progression of one's Krishna consciousness. What is being spoken about here is the beginning of the Grihastha Ashram. And we can see that in this exchange of marriage, it's not relatives coming together, drinking alcohol, speaking a bunch of ridiculous things, but as we've seen leading up to this, it has been heartfelt glorification of Kardama Muni and heartfelt glorification of Devahuti. Devahuti has never met a man in her life. Kardama Muni has never touched a woman in his life. And this first meeting is full of culture, it is full of respect, and it is full of appreciation. This is the value of a Varnashram society. When you're very conscientious of the roles in which particular people have to play in society, then it facilitates an atmosphere in which loving exchange and selflessness becomes the natural function of the society. This is the Vaiviharika consideration, that the respect which is being shown to Kardama Muni and the respect which is being shown to Devahuti is the emblem of a Vaishnav society. And we're only dealing with a so-called mundane ceremony. But you can see when these Vaiviharika considerations are followed according to the conclusions of the Shastra, according to Varnashram, the natural byproduct of that is that people develop an inclination towards the Paramatmika consideration, the ultimate absolute consideration of life. This is the whole purpose of arranging society. This is the whole purpose of a socio-cultural backdrop in human society. The purpose of human society is labha sudurlabha idam bahusam bhavante manusyam arthadam manityam hapi adira, that this life is temporary, so it should only be used for the purpose of self-realization. If one has come to the human form of life, it does not mean that anyone can do any damn thing they like, but they have to learn to cooperate according to a doctrine which is coming from the Shastra, coming from higher authorities, and coming from a source of knowledge which is beyond the considerations of one's mind and body. So that's why we see in Varnashram society, extreme prominence is given to the protection of brahmanas, extreme prominence is given to the protection of cows, prominence is given to the protection of women, children, and elders. And all of these things are there to ultimately protect the principles of the Bhagavad Marg. If we have a culture which is encouraging sense gratification, which is currently the standard of human society, generally known in sociological circles as liberal humanism, which is the idea that man is the ultimate measure of all things, and that man's rational disposition can draw conclusions which are absolute. The natural byproduct of this liberal humanism is moral relativity. I had an experience of this when I was in the university of what moral relativity is. The foundation of liberal humanism is that there is no ultimate truth. And I had an experience of this directly. So when I was in college, I was visiting a friend's music band. They were having a show in our local town. And one of my professors was there. He was a new professor. He had just moved from Arizona to teach at the university I was going to. And he was one of my professors, so I started speaking with him. We were out on the sidewalk after the show, and I was speaking with him. And at this time, I had just started reading Srila Prabhupada's books. I wasn't completely sure if I wanted to be a devotee, but I had some feeling for the things which Srila Prabhupada was saying. And Srila Prabhupada, as we all know, often speaks about absolute truth in his books. So I was telling this professor he was asking me, why are you studying anthropology? And I told him, I'm studying anthropology because I want to know what is the truth. And he very boldly told me that there is no truth. This is liberal humanism, that anyone's opinion, anyone's postmodern opinion, is just as valuable as the other, and there's no ultimate authority. And the byproduct of that is moral relativity, in which one can define moral standards according to their own social conduct. And we see that in relationship to these five things that I've mentioned, brahmanas, elders, women, cows, and children, when you have this materialistic, asuric disposition imposed upon these things, all of them get exploited. Brahmanas are not respected because there is no ultimate authority in society. Elders are put into retirement homes and asked to be quiet. Women are seen as objects of sense gratification. Children are given to a public university in which the ideas and morals of that materialistic society are imposed upon the child from an early age, and cows are seen as an object of one's daily meal. This is the byproduct of a materialistic civilization, and as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, mogasya moga karmano moga jnana vichetasa rakshasim asurim chaiva mohinim prakritim mohinim shritaha. That such an atheistic conception of life, it leads to people not knowing the ultimate goal, people's activities ultimately being spoiled, and every objective which they are trying to achieve ultimately becomes defeated. Krishna consciousness is completely different. Krishna consciousness, the socio-cultural backdrop of Krishna consciousness is that brahmanas are seen as leaders of society because they represent the shastra. And with healthy brahminical culture, every other division of society can ultimately flourish. If you have a healthy brahminical culture, they function as visionaries in society who can give guidance to the kshatriyas who function as the executors of that vision. And then we have vaishyas who function as creating an economic backdrop by which people can live a healthy and fruitful life, living off of milk, grains, clothes. And then you have sudras who are supporting the whole society in various different ways. This is how brahmanas are respected. Elders are respected as seeing people who may not necessarily always carry shastric wisdom, but they carry the consideration of aitya, which is traditional wisdom. And that traditional wisdom can help protect the youth from making decisions which can ultimately lead to unwanted reactions in the future. Women are respected as they are protected from an early age, and they are seen as the mothers of society because it's understood that women, when they are functioning as mothers, they render the most important service to society by raising children who can become God conscious. So this is why men and women are separated from an early age in Vedic culture, in order to show respect to the fact that this combination of man and woman can be very, very volatile for each other, and women being in a position where they can be easily exploited due to physical weakness and also due to an emotional feeling, as we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam when Ashvatthama was going to be killed. Devahuti had a natural emotional disposition. So to this emotional disposition, which is meant to be used for the nurturing and upraising of children, they can easily be exploited by men of unwanted character. Finally, we have cows. Cows are functioning in the society as emblems of sattvaguna, where they can produce milk, they can till the field, and practically every product which is coming from the cow has some practical use in society. Even the cow dung can be used as for cooking, it can be used for decoration, it can be used for various practical household paraphernalia, as is being said here, household use. And In this way, when the cows are protected, they're able to render more service to society as opposed to them being exploited and just functioning as someone's dinner. The amount of things which cows can do for a society are completely inconceivable. Devaki Nandana Prabhu, the temple president or the temple leader of ISKCON Kanpur, before they built the Kanpur temple, first he developed a goshala with 500 cows. And when His Grace Radhe Shyam Prabhu asked him, why are you developing this goshala? He said, I am convinced that if we just protect the cows, everything will come. And actually, if you go to ISKCON Kanpur nowadays, they have a beautiful temple, they have wonderful devotees, beautiful deities, and about 10 miles away from the temple, they have a goshala with 500 plus cows. And it's completely amazing. And then finally, children. Children are respected in society because it's seen that they are protected in society because they are going to be the future of society. So they are given respect by giving a very pristine education in not only learning a particular skill, but as Srila Prabhupada often said, learning skills is not an education. Getting an education is developing character. So the formation of character takes place within the youth of a child. And when the children are brought up with proper character, no matter what particular skill set or guna and karma they may have, that character can be utilized for the purpose of samsidhir haritoshanam, moving everything in the direction of pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so although there is social stratification in society, in a Vedic culture, although there are different roles which people play, there are roles that women play, there are roles that men play, there are roles that teachers play, there are roles that administrators play, and although they may be socially stratified, ultimately the purpose of the social stratification is to create a harmonious atmosphere in which all of those members of society can come together for the purpose of chanting the holy names of Krishna. Apanam samstitim goram yanamabhi vishogrinam tata sadyo vimuchetan yadbabeti swayambayam. That when this pristine cultural background is present, people will have the natural, peaceful disposition to engage in the activities of Harinam Sankirtan with enthusiasm, with vigor, and with vitality. Whereas we see in a materialistic civilization, despite the fact we may be wanting to be devotees, the 9-to-5 cuts into the morning program. Raising children becomes extremely difficult. Protecting cows seems practically impossible. And all the values and cultural principles which actually guide a Vedic society are neglected. And so in the process of trying to practice Krishna consciousness, there is a high likelihood of making a mistake on the path. But when there is a culture which supports Krishna consciousness, it is like a glass which helps carry the pure water of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, the process of hearing and chanting, is like pristine water which nourishes the body and gives strength and an ability for us to act. But if that water is just drinking with the palm, it may have some effect. But as soon as it's put into a glass, you can drink as much water as you need until you're fully nourished. So in this way, the Varnashram society of Krishna consciousness, which is spoken by Srila Prabhupada so much in his final days, Mukunda Dutta Prabhu, when he was here, he was sharing a statistic with me that Srila Prabhupada in 1976 and 1977 gave 80% of his instructions on Varnashram. So it's clear, if you studied the Transcendental Diary of Hari Sari, if you study any of the biographies of Prabhupada in his final days, it is clear that Srila Prabhupada had a vision of moving ISKCON to function not only as a spiritual organization which is giving the process of pure devotional service, but also creating a culture by which a broader audience of people could be facilitated and engaged in the Harinam Sankirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's a few thoughts on this verse. I'd like to open it up for discussion. Hare Krishna. Rabindranath Prabhu?
Yeah, you mentioned about this professor who was saying that there is no truth.
Yes.
But isn't that a contradiction in terms, because he's presenting what he is saying as the truth?
That's the absurdity of what he was saying. Because basically, as soon as he says there's no truth, it means I have to accept that he's the truth. Rakshakshis Asurim Chaiva. Mataji?
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. I'm just looking for some clarification,
sure.
Probably my misunderstanding. Human life is meant for self-realization.
Correct.
And that realization happens in three stages. First, impersonal Brahman, then Paramatma, then Bhagavan. You said that one who is attaining for Paramatma is likely to fall down, but I was thinking that that was a prerequisite to Bhagavan realization.
No, no. It's just a use of language. Paramatmika is our eternal duties. So I was referring to Paramatmika. If one just tries to take to our eternal duties without the prerequisite purity to be fully engaged in that, one can easily fall back. So there is a cultural consideration within Krishna consciousness, within the Vaibhiharika, which helps create a background by which, from whatever position you may be in, you can peacefully execute Krishna consciousness. So that is known as dharma.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. You mentioned of these five members of society who need to be protected in order for the Varnashram Dharma to flourish. You gave the example of the Kanpur devotee who, just by first protecting the cows, everything else seemed to come naturally.
Correct.
Is there any Shastric evidence or recommendation of which of these members of society one can start to try to protect and reestablish?
They should all be protected. It's not that one's given prominence over another, but I've heard Bhakti Raghava Maharaj say that if cows are protected, everything else can follow. Yeah, Namo Brahmananaya Devaya. Namo Brahmanaya Go Brahmanaya Hitaya Cha Govindaya Krishna Jagati Tayak. Somehow it's slipping off my head. Archita Prabhu has something to say. It's going to clarify everything that's been spoken so far.
Before we dive into the individuals that are being recommended to be protected, we have to understand who this directive is being aimed at. It's being aimed at the administrators, not just Joe Blow on the street.
It's true.
Those who take up the position of administrators, in other words, the Kshatriyas, they have to have this firmly as their guide, that they have to protect these five classes of individuals.
Yeah.
But even on an individual basis, we all can see the necessity, because how do you become an adult if you're not protected as a child?
Yeah.
How do you learn anything without reference to your mother? All seven mothers, not just the birth mother. Automati, Guru, Patni, like the whole seven that are listed. So each of those items are obviously important. But it's most, again, this directive is being given to the administrators, those who take up leadership position, because Yadyad Acharati Shreshtas, whatever they do, the common people will follow. We see that in modern society. Mm. If the leaders take up a position of being having animosity towards their neighbors, towards any of those categories, then the common people follow that.
Yeah.
So these directions are being given to the Kshatriyas, the administrators. You must protect these five classes. And that's why Pariksit Maharaj was so glorified, because he was going on his tour, he saw a cow being beaten, and he was immediately ready to kill the perpetrator, because he took that directive seriously.
That's an excellent point. Thank you, Archita Prabhu.
That's well said, but I have another point too also in that regard.
Sure.
That actually to be able to establish Varnashram Dharma, the main priority in order for the other to be protected, or everyone to be protected, is the Brahmanas.
Yeah.
If you don't have the Brahmanas, the head that Prabhupada was always speaking, the Kshatriyas also, as good as they might be, if they are not... Because they are moved by the mode of passion, the Brahmanas, they are to instruct the Kshatriyas. I mean, to advise them and counsel them. So, in combination of both, of course, they can, pursue progress in this regard.
And that's why you see Srila Prabhupada put a lot of energy into establishing Brahminical culture within ISKCON. There's a whole wealth of instructions given on the value of Brahminical culture given by Srila Prabhupada. Jagat Chatta Prabhu, and then if there's no one else, we'll wrap up.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the really nice class about how Varnashram Dharma is necessary as a cultural background to give us enthusiasm, vigor, and vitality in our devotional service, and how this makes one develop good qualities that will develop into a character where one can please Krishna, Samsidhir Haritoshanam. I really like those points. You mentioned how relative truth, liberal humanism, that there's some connection towards degradation of character. You mentioned a specific example of your college professor, but I was wondering if you could elaborate more, like what is his personal character as a result of...
Yeah, there was an important part of that story which all the guys have heard before, but maybe I haven't brought up in... So the natural byproduct of this, thank you for reminding me, Jagat Shweta. So he said there is no truth. Now, as weeks went on, I had a friend who was a girl, and she was best friends with my neighbor, but the house was connected to each other. So she'd come over to me and she would tell me all of her problems. And so she was telling me that, you know, I met this professor at that program and we started hanging out. And now we're in an affair. And I'm in one of his classes. And then at one point, about 3-4 weeks later, she came to me completely sobbing, saying that this professor has broken off the relationship because it may jeopardize his career. So moral relativity, that as long as it's moral, but as soon as it's in regards to my sense gratification, those moral considerations can be put to the side. So thank you for reminding me. This is an important part of this liberal humanism and the effects of moral relativity. That if people claim that there's no absolute truth, then they have no truth to be accountable for, and their activities become whimsical and dangerous for human society. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Oh, thank you. They have had no training, they have had no culture, no knowledge, and when you don't know anything, then you come to false conclusions like the one that you just mentioned. But that does not necessarily mean that that will be the same for that person for the rest of his life. He may meet a person like you, and then you explain to him that there is a truth, there is an absolute, there is a supreme Lord, and here's why. And then you get into the details. So, therefore, even if a person says things which are foolish, nonsensical, make no sense, we shouldn't laugh at him or look down at him, because he may be a great scholar in the future, only because he asks questions, gets the right answers, and then those right answers become his new answers, as opposed to the one that he had before, that there's no, you know, there's no truth at all. Now he says, there's truth in everything.
Thank you very much,
yeah, thank
you. Yes.
So I born in Catholicism, but when I come to Krishna and I chant, it's the most beautiful thing that can happen to me. You know, it makes me smile in my heart. And when I was meditating, I heard "I love you" in Spanish. It means "te amo" and "gracias." So I just want to share that.
And well, thank you.
Very
Hare Krishna.
Words. Hare Krishna.
Jai. 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 Jai.